to be found on page 1071 of the Church Bibles. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to an eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to just think about those readings, let's pray first. Father God, speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills. Open our ears to hear the words that you want us to hear this morning. Be with us through your Spirit, now and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you haven't already learnt by now, I do have a rather wickedly naughty sense of humour. My previous church knew that and realised that they were never really quite safe. I was so tempted this morning after yesterday's great day of celebration, and there were some quite tired bodies who arrived here this morning. I was so tempted to talk about Jesus turning water into wine. I thought, shall I go for that one? And then I thought, no, it's not the lectionary reading, Cathy. Stick with what's in the lectionary. So I'm not going to go down that route. But if we look at the readings that we've got this morning, it's quite interesting when you do research about water. I heard with interest this week that they were talking that we've got to teach people in schools how to discern fake news. What are we coming to, I thought to myself. What are we coming to when we've got to teach children how to discern fake news. And then I was listening to the radio, and the radio said, with great certainty, of course, we always had access to encyclopedias. Do you remember the rows of Encyclopaedia Britannica? I think there were usually about 26 of them. Oh, plus the index copy. There was always the index copy at the end. As if that information was absolutely correct. But the trouble is that scientists over the years have proved that even the Encyclopaedia Britannica can be wrong. So when you start researching water, it's quite interesting. Because scientists reckon that we are ourselves about 70% water. If you Google it, it says we're 60% water. So choose your number. But what we do know is that water is the most basic necessity for our bodies. Christ went without food for 40 days in the wilderness. But it is a fact that we can't do 40 days without water. Although I learnt last summer that you can do an awful lot of days without water, because as some of you knew, when my mother was dying, she just refused to take anything, food or drink, and we thought, well, that's it. But it's remarkable how long the body can keep going, even without water. And in the Old Testament reading that we had today, we have a theme that is quite common. That theme is the Israelites moaning. Not uncommon in the Old Testament when we get to the Israelites and we see they're wandering in the wilderness and they're moaning at Moses and saying, so where are we going to get the water from? Is God with us? Is he going to supply our most basic need? And then God says to Moses, go strike the rock and I will show you that surely I am with you. And as Moses steps out in obedience, God is there and the Israelites have water. But today I want to spend the time looking at the New Testament and our gospel reading, which describes a very long and convoluted conversation. But I think many of the best conversations are exactly that, long and convoluted, when you sit down and you tease out something with someone. And today's reading describes that meeting of Christ with the Samaritan woman. And they seemingly had a lot to say to each other. But this conversation actually should never have happened, for several reasons. First, because it was between a man and a woman, and you think, well, so what's difficult about that? But in the time that we're talking about, rabbis, like Christ, were not allowed to talk to women in public, not even their own wives or daughters. So there you go, that would have been a nice quiet time, wouldn't it? So the very fact that Jesus sits down and talks with the Samaritan woman is breaking a very basic rule of the time. Secondly, because Jews and Samaritans did not get on. If I could have the first slide up, thanks Steve. I thought we'd have a quick whirl through geography this morning. If we look at Judea down at the bottom, and we look at Sychar, which is up in Samaria, Jews and Samaritans seriously did not get on. And if people wanted to travel from Judea up to Galilee, they would cross across the River Jordan and go, as I call it, the scenic route, to get there, because they certainly, Jews, did not want to go through Samaria. But here we see Christ saying, I am going to go straight there. I'm not going to heed what's gone on in the past. There was bitterness between the Jews and the Samaritans, and that had gone on for about 400 years. To be a good Jew, you had to despise the Samaritans. And on the other side of that coin, to be a good Samaritan, you had to despise the Jews. That was how they sat alongside each other, or didn't, as the case may be. And the third reason that this conversation should never have happened was because this Samaritan woman was an outcast. Most people of the time, women of the time, would go and collect water early in the morning and late in the evening. Obvious reason for that, because that was when it was coolest. But here we see the woman collecting water at midday, at the hottest time of the day. And the reason for that was because she was an outcast. So she had to go and collect water at a time when the other women weren't at the well. Why was she an outcast? Well, Christ could see right to the very heart of it. He didn't have to be told. As he said to her, "You've been married 5 times before, and you are now living with a man who is not your husband." And in those days, that was utterly unheard of. So Jesus is on a journey with his disciples, and they are no doubt hot and exhausted in the middle of the day because they're travelling by foot. And the disciples have gone into the town to go and fetch food, and Jesus stays outside the town. And when the woman appears, he physically asks her, he asks her for a favour, because he is thirsty. Actually, when you look in the Bible, there are only 2 times when Christ admits to being thirsty. One is at the well, and the other time is on the cross. And I'll come on to that in a minute. So Christ is saying, "I am physically thirsty," like the Israelites. Now, several weeks ago, I showed you a video clip of the Brownlee brothers. Remember that stunning clip of the Brownlee brothers on their race in the triathlon, when Alistair helps his brother? And they're running in Mexico, and the conditions were immensely hot. And Johnny, because he wants to win the race, sets off at a ridiculous pace, according to his brother. "He should never have gone off at that pace," says Alistair. And he doesn't listen to his body. His body is saying, "I need water." So as a consequence of not listening to his body, we saw in that clip, at the end of the race, or towards the end of the race, Johnny is beginning to collapse. Actually, as they finally admitted, seriously dangerous and possibly close to death had there not been medical support. So one might say, therefore, that one obvious rule, if you feel thirsty, is listen to your body. Thank you. I thought, I've got to find something that sort of, you know, demonstrates this. Listen to your bodies. The interesting thing is that research says that when you feel thirsty, you are already on the downward path. Can we have the next slide up, please, Steve? Thank you. When you're thirsty, you are already about 2% dehydrated. So feeling thirsty is actually a symptom of dehydration. And Christ was there saying, "I'm thirsty." Jesus is parched. But the story that we hear this morning isn't about, on its own, physical thirst. It's also about spiritual thirst, and that's what I want to look at today. The story begins with Jesus recognizing his physical thirst, but then what ensues is a complicated discussion, a really heavy theological discussion, yes, about spiritual thirst. Can we have the next slide? Thanks, Steve. The entire story is a serious spiritual conversation with an outcast woman. But Jesus treats her with respect and as an equal. And he says to the woman, if only you knew what a wonderful gift God had for you and who I am, you would ask me for living water. She's sitting there and thinking, well, you know, Jesus doesn't have a bucket. I listened to Martin preaching this morning, and it was quite interesting because Martin said, well, actually, Christ didn't need a bucket. He could have just levitated the water up the well. But the thing about God is he doesn't do that kind of thing. He doesn't just come in and solve things, because we need to learn through situations. And this woman needed to learn that Christ was talking not just about physical thirst, but spiritual thirst. Christ has a conversation with this woman. Now, where else do we see in Scripture Jesus getting alongside the outcast, the refugee, the foreigner, the tax collector, the leper, and many others? This is Jesus. It doesn't matter what our situation is. It doesn't matter that we are not perfect. Actually, I've got news for you. None of us are perfect. Yes. Only Christ was perfect. But the thing about this story is, here again is Jesus sitting down with a person who the world would have said, we want nothing to do with you. She was an outcast. But Jesus is saying, I want everything to do with you. I want you to come and be in my kingdom, no matter what you've done. Then the woman says, well, let's wait for the Messiah. Let's wait. I know that the Messiah is coming. She's having this conversation. She doesn't understand. And she said, well, let's wait for the Messiah. And Christ simply says to her, I am the Messiah. That's a huge statement. I am the Messiah. I am who God's Son. It's another one of those I am statements that Jesus makes. And what's her response to that? It isn't, okay, I'll go and get a bucket then, and I'll go and put the bucket in the well. She meets with Jesus, who says, I am the Messiah. And her reply is, simply, give me this water. So to return to physical thirst, we need to listen to our bodies and to drink regularly every day. But the question is, how do we listen to our spiritual bodies? Or actually, do we listen to our spiritual bodies? If we need to drink water every day for our physical bodies, surely we need to be feeding our spiritual bodies every day. Or are we running on empty? We can't do that with water, because our body will soon say, hang on a minute, I need to be given some water. But I don't know about you, but in this busy world that we live in, there seems to be this thinking that we can actually run on spiritually empty tanks. I'm talking about myself, I don't know about you, but in a busy week, I go charging through the week, and then I suddenly realise, actually, the tank is getting pretty empty. And we need to listen to both parts of our bodies. The woman at the well had an encounter with Jesus that changed her life. And she went back and told the village, this is a woman who's an outcast, who nobody wanted anything to do with. But if we go on later in the story, she goes back to the village or the town and tells what's happened. And others come to know Christ. Christ then goes into the town and people become followers of Jesus. She goes back and says, I have had a life-changing experience. I want to share this with you. And I suppose one of the questions I want to ask of us as a church, what I know I keep coming back to, is if we've had a life-changing experience of knowing Jesus, how do we share that with people we meet during our week? Or perhaps the question is, do we share it? I think that's something that we need individually to think about. But today I want to encourage us to ask the same questions, and I want to encourage you to ask the same questions. Am I running on empty? Am I spiritually thirsty? Am I going through the motions of daily living, yet deep down knowing that I'm spiritually dry? We're talking at this season about being in the wilderness. And being in the wilderness is sometimes an immensely dry place and a spiritually dry place. But I think it's when we're in the wilderness that we so often learn the most. Because we can't rely on ourselves. We have to turn to God and say, I can't cope. Those are the places and those are the times when I look back in my life when I've gained the most and learnt the most. But the question is to you today, are you running on empty in your spiritual tank? And are you feeding that tank on a daily basis? Because Jesus' words to that woman were, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. I want to end my thought today by asking you to ask yourselves that question. How well do you look after your spiritual body? Christ was sitting there with the woman saying, come and drink. Well, what was that living water? Well, the living water is within us. If you go on to the next slide, in John chapter 7, Christ says, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. For the scripture declares that the rivers of living water shall flow from the innermost being of anyone who believes in me. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not been yet given, because Jesus had not returned to his Father in glory, in glory into heaven. But we now have the Holy Spirit. And we need daily to come to Christ and say, fill me again. It's not about a once and forever filling and saying, right, I'm going to spend the next however many days on this life with my one filling. Do you run your car on one filling of petrol? We wish. You have to keep going back to the garage to fill it up again. Why is it sometimes that we seem to think with our own spiritual lives we can be filled once and that'll do? It didn't do for Christ. Christ, every time we see a situation with Christ that was a difficult situation, what does Scripture say? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to answer the question. But it says Christ drew away and prayed and spent time with his Father. He didn't run spiritually empty. So why do we think we can? Why do I think I can? Christ didn't. He is our model. So each and every day we need to come back to Christ and say, refill me with the living water that you give, the Holy Spirit. Refill me for today so that I'm not running on empty and I've got something to give to others, not just me. I've put at the front here a bowl and some water. And someone said to me this morning, Kathy, are you doing a baptism this morning? And I said, no, that's this afternoon. But actually, I could be doing a baptism because, in a sense, when we come to baptize a child or somebody or an adult even, we sprinkle them with the living water. That represents Christ's washing and Christ coming in and indwelling into the innermost person. How do we feed our souls? By coming to Christ and saying, fill me anew and afresh. I've got some pebbles at the side here, and I've got a bowl of water. And if today you want to come and say to Christ, I'm spiritually dry, will you please refill me? Will you please refill my spiritual part of my body? Or if today you want to say, I just want to know more of your Holy Spirit in my life. Or as we sang in that song that we sang earlier, Jesus, I just want to know more of you in my life. If that applies to you, then in a sense it's about making a commitment to that. Because we can sometimes go away and say it, but not live out that commitment. So if today you want to say any of those things, then do come forward and place a pebble in the water. Can we have the next picture? Thanks, Steve. Doesn't show up quite so well on there, but there's a picture of pebbles with water just running over the top. And the last slide. Thanks, Steve. Come all who are thirsty, says Jesus our Lord. Come all who are weak. Taste the living water that I shall give. Dip your hand in the stream. Refresh body and soul. Drink from it. Depend on it. For this water will never run dry. Come all who are thirsty, says Jesus our Lord. So I invite you to come. The bowl can stay empty, and we can walk home and say, I'm going to carry on as I am. Or we can say, Christ, I want more of you in my life. I want to know you more. I want to be filled again with your life-giving water. I don't mind whether the bowl stays empty or full. That's between you and God. The bowl will still be there at the end of the service if you don't want to walk out to the front, and I fully understand that. But it's about us doing business with God and saying, more of you in my life. As that woman said, immediately after that conversation, she said, give me that water. Are we thirsty enough to be saying, refill me, refill my body with your Holy Spirit? And I've asked Andrew if he will just play quietly, and we'll have a moment to think and to respond to whatever God is saying to you. Thank you, Andrew.